Take your hymnals, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the Gospel of Luke. Thank you, Elijah. Luke chapter 24. It is something that would be in the front of each of our minds as we think of this day. It's called Easter. It is the day that is celebrated by so many around the world as the day that Jesus rose from the dead, as the day that he left the tomb. We're not going to talk about what Scripture tells us to celebrate in his death and the Lord's Supper. We're going to think about the tomb. And it struck me as I was thinking about what to preach on this week that there were a number of people missing from the tomb. We think about it and we think, well, Jesus was missing from the tomb. But there were a number of people missing from the tomb almost 2,000 years ago. And some of the characters that you would expect to see at the tomb because of the life of Christ were not there. To start with. And so I wanted to look at those this evening. And so we're going to be reading from Luke chapter 24, the first 12 verses, and we'll make some stops in some other places as well. And you're going to have to excuse my cough that suddenly come on at some point. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. Now, before we begin to think about any of the other characters who were in the life of Christ that were not at the tomb, the first one that is obvious is Christ, Jesus Christ. He wasn't at the tomb. He had risen. The women had gone there expecting to find him, and they could not find him because he was not there anymore. The stone had been rolled away, and Jesus had risen. That's why we were singing the songs that we sing. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye Jehovah, because he is risen. He's risen indeed. And later on, he comes back to the tomb. He comforts Mary Magdalene when you read that in the Gospel of John. And those that were expecting to find him there can't find him because he has done something that no one else has ever done. Now, there have been people that have risen from the dead, but they have been risen. They have been resurrected, I should say. That risen wasn't the right word. They have been resurrected by the power of another. We can think of Elisha raising the son of the Shunammite woman. We can think of Jesus himself raising a number of people, including Lazarus, from the dead. But no one had risen from the dead through their own power. Jesus tells us that he has the power to lay his life down, and he has the power to take it again. That he has been given this by his Father. So the question is, why does he do it? Why does he go to the cross? Why does he go to the cross and go in the tomb and then rise from the dead? It is because of sin. Not his sin, he's sinless. It's the sin of his people. There he is taking as a substitutionary sacrifice the sin of his people on the cross. And the sin of his people caused him to die. But death cannot keep his prey. That's what the words we were singing. They can't hold him. And there's no power in this universe that can hold him. And so he rises from the dead, just as he said he would. And you can go through the Gospels and you can find him repeatedly telling the apostles, telling the disciples, that he is going to be put into the hands of the scribes, the elders, and the chief priests, and he is going to be killed by those that did not believe. And he said, I'm going to rise again on the third day. And the question that we have is, what did they hear? What did they hear? Well, when recall to mind, when Jesus says that to Peter, Peter rebukes Jesus. He takes him aside and he's trying to be nice to Jesus by not doing it in front of everybody, and rebukes him. And Jesus says, get thee behind me, Satan, because you don't know what you're talking about. That's his purpose, to come, to go to the cross and to die. It is a wonderful thing. He is not on the cross. He's not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He is right now seated at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for his children. That's something to rejoice in. Something to have a profound joy that Jesus Christ is not on the cross. He's not in the tomb. He is in heaven. And he is there interceding for his children. And he's there preparing a place for them, so that when we die, we can be with him. So, because we're all gathered together, we all know that, don't we? We all know, well, Jesus isn't in the tomb anymore. He's not on the cross, he's not in the tomb, he's risen. We wouldn't be here if we hadn't already known that from the people that are sitting here. But it's important to remind ourselves that when they went to the tomb, he was missing. From their perspective, he was missing. He wasn't there. Now, there's a few people that I want to point out that were also missing from the tomb. And this is not something that maybe you have in your mind very much. Judas was missing from the tomb. He's been missing now for a number of days and will be throughout the rest of the story of Christianity. Why? Because of unbelief. Because he didn't believe what Jesus said. He didn't believe who Jesus was. And his unbelief caused his betrayal. It caused him to go and to kiss Jesus so that the guards would come and arrest him. And in his unbelief, he sees what happens and he feels bad about it. He has remorse. He has sorrow. But what does that remorse and sorrow cause? It causes him to go and to throw those pieces of silver back at the feet of the chief priest. And he goes and he kills himself. He commits suicide. And why does he do that? Because his remorse and sorrow it was not godly sorrow. Godly sorrow leads you to repentance, as Paul tells us, that is not to be repented of. Why? Because you have found something that is so precious. When we think about some of the parables that Jesus taught, think about the treasure in the field. Here is a man, he's just plowing a plow, and suddenly he hits something, and he realizes that what he hit is a treasure. What does he do? Covers it back up. He goes home. He gets everything he owns. He goes and sells it so that he can buy the field. Why? Because that treasure is more than everything he's ever owned put together. That's precious to him. He doesn't want to lose it. And when he buys the field, he's going to rejoice. You think he's going to sell the field back to somebody? No. It's his now, and the treasure that's in it is his. He's never letting go of it. Just like the pearl merchant. He finds the pearl that is so precious, he sells all the rest to get that one. And he's not going to sell that to anybody else. It's his. That's what the cross is all about. That's what the tomb is all about. And that's what Judas did not have. He didn't have that treasure. He didn't have that repentance that drove him to Christ. He had remorse that drove him away from Christ. And when we consider our lives, we have to consider which way do we turn. Negative things, from the human perspective, happen to us all the time. They happen constantly in life. It's not unusual. It happens to everybody. Everybody's parents one day will die. I'm sorry to break it to my two boys that are here. One day, I'm going to die. Your mother is going to die. Unless Jesus returns first, we're going to die. Why? Because that's the natural order of things after the fall. That's the way it is. Difficult things will happen. You'll get sick. You might not be able to walk as you used to walk. You might not be able to jump as you used to jump. Your hair might fall out, or it might turn gray. Who knows? All sorts of things will happen that you don't want to happen, but happen they will. And the question is, what will you do? Who will you turn to? Judas, through his unbelief, turned to death, thinking that in some way that was going to be better than a life lived with remorse. He was wrong. He was wrong. The only way is to turn to Christ in the midst of the difficulties. Doesn't mean that he's going to make those problems go away, but he's going to help you go through those problems. He's going to give you strength to bear up under the influence of those things. Don't do as Judas did. He was not there at the tomb. Why? Because he was dead. Because he was not a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And his unbelief caused him to go away. But that leads us to the 11. Peter, James, John, the other disciples. They believed in Christ. But where were they? They weren't at the tomb. They weren't there first thing in the morning. Now they had heard all the things that Jesus said. What did he say? He said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over by the chief priests, by the scribes, by the elders, to the Romans, and I'm going to be killed. But on the third day, I will rise again. He said it repeatedly. Enough times for it to actually sink into their brains. So, what should they have been doing? If it were me, and I had understanding, I'd be camped out. I'd get my tent, I'd get my chair, and I'd put it there right in front of the tomb, waiting for him to come out. If I truly understood what it was that Christ had said. But see, they had belief, but they didn't have understanding. They didn't quite click that everything was there. Peter makes the statement, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. They believed Jesus when he spoke to them. But they lacked understanding to his purposes. Why do we know that? Well, the same chapter that we read from, Luke 24, verses 36 to 48. And as they thus spake, this is after the resurrection, and after a number of things have taken place. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. It's not the first time they think that they see a spirit, and it's Jesus. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy, and wondered, he said unto them, have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish, and of an honeycomb. And he took it, and did eat before them. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. He opened their understanding. They had belief, but lacked understanding. That's why they weren't at the tomb. That's why they didn't show up first thing in the morning. The women that went there, they had belief, but they also lacked understanding. You see, they went there because they thought they were going to find his body. And they thought they were going to do certain things, spices, and arrange his body for burial. They had belief, they trusted him, but they didn't understand the words that he said. They didn't completely get who he was until his resurrection. They understand they're in that upper room. He opens their understanding. What a blessed phrase that is. If you're a believer today, it is because Jesus has opened your understanding. He has opened your understanding to truly understand who he is and what he has done. Then there's one more person that isn't at the tomb that is a bit of a surprise, because a lot of other people were there that you would think she might have been part of the group. And that's Mary. Now, there's a lot of Marys in the New Testament, right? There's Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's Mary Magdalene. There's Mary, the mother of Joseph and James. And then there's Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. All the other Marys, except for maybe, I think Mark tells us that Mary, the mother of Jesus, was also there. From what I understand, the only Mary that wasn't at the tomb was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. She's it. She's the only one that's not there. So why wasn't she there? Why wasn't Mary, that Mary, there? Well, I think we find out in Mark chapter 14. In Mark chapter 14, before the crucifixion, it's 2 days before the Passover. And in verse 3 of Mark chapter 14, we're told this. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves, and said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. John tells us that that's Judas murmuring against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She is come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Mary, the one who sat at Jesus' feet, not only believed, she understood what Jesus had said. She understood. Because while everybody else is singing Hosanna, the son of David's coming into Jerusalem, Mary's sitting there thinking, he's going to die. He's dying the end of this week. And I've got to do something about it. And she takes this box, which is probably her dowry that has been left to her from her parents, to set up her house whenever she gets married for the rest of her life. She takes this box and she breaks it. And she anoints Jesus for his burial. And she knows what she's doing. Jesus tells her she knows what she's doing. All the rest of the disciples, no, Lord, you're not going to die. No, that's not going to happen. He's the Messiah. Of course he can't die. Even though he had said repeatedly, he's going to die and rise again the third day. There's one person in all of the Gospels that we have no shadow of a doubt believed and understood it. And it was Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. She believed Jesus. And she understood what it was that he was saying. And she prepared him for his burial. You almost have to think about those women going, and Mary's like, hey, where did they go this morning? She woke up late because she knew there's nobody there. He's gone. He's risen from the dead, because that's exactly what he said he was going to do. He said he was going to die, and he died. He said he was going to rise from the dead, and he rose. That's who he is. He's the Son of God. He has that power. He has that authority. And Mary wasn't at the tomb. She didn't expect to see Jesus at the tomb, because she understood the words that he had said, and she believed him. And that's the question that we have to ponder for ourselves when we think of the empty tomb. Jesus wasn't there. He said he wasn't going to be there. And Mary, she understood his words. She believed his words. So she didn't show up with the other women. She didn't go there expecting to find the body of Jesus. And it would have been just an off chance to show up at just the right time to see him rise from the dead. The disciples, you think about it. Here comes Mary Magdalene and the others, and they run back and tell the disciples, he's risen. So what does Simon do? What does Peter do? Peter and John, they run to the tomb to find out what's happened. And when they get there, they're like, oh, what is this? We don't understand. And Luke even tells us that Peter is like, this doesn't make any sense. But wait a second, Peter. Don't you remember all the times that he said over and over that he was going to die and that he was going to rise from the dead on the third day? These are those very things that he said to you. But it's not until Jesus comes and stands in front of them, and they're still struggling with joy and wonderment, but they're like, can this be real? And Jesus eats in front of them. He eats some fish and some honeycomb. And he says, it's me. And he opens their understanding. What a blessing that is. But wouldn't it have been better if they had what Mary had? That understanding from before. From the human perspective, you understand what I mean. And that's the thing. Do you understand? Do you believe the Lord Jesus Christ? He didn't come to set up some new form of Judaism. That's not why he came. He came to save sinners. He came to forgive sinners and give them his righteousness. That's why he came. That's what it's all about. That's what the empty tomb is all about. And Mary got it. The question is, do you get it? Do you understand that Jesus rose from the dead to have victory over sin and death? And is it an individual thing for you? That it's your sin? That it's your death? It's not just over sin and death for everybody. No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about sin and death for you. So that I can say, as I stand here tonight, I have eternal life. It's a current, present possession for me. That when this body dies, when it wears out, whenever that happens, I will be immediately present with my Lord. It's eternal life. It's going on and on and on, beyond what my mind can conceive. It's because of what Jesus did on the cross and rising from the tomb. And that's why on this day, so many people around the world are singing, Hallelujah! He's risen. He's risen indeed. And I hope that you can see that, and I hope that you can understand that and believe it. And so we point you to Jesus Christ tonight. Amen.